Bickley and Marotta. Bickley and Marotta mornings. Arizona Sports. The local sports leader. Bickley Blast.
Without pestering or provocation, Kyler Murray provided his own timetable for a return to football on Wednesday. Soon, he posted on social media, and then he posted a promise I didn't expect to hear. "I won't let us down," he wrote. And just like that, the tone of football season has changed, in my opinion. With one TikTok video, Murray has placed expectations on his return from knee surgery and soon implies week five or soon thereafter. It means he isn't looking to stall or buy time. It means the Cardinals aren't conspiring to keep him away from the football field. And it means that Murray has voluntarily raised the bar. And if this injury lingers into November, Murray will have created a sense of disappointment he did not need to create. Now the other part. "I won't let us down" implies that Murray is not feeling apprehensive about his knee or any trepidation about his return, and if that doesn't excite you, then you are too far gone in your hate for Murray to feel a thing, and as Lake Ruthless likes to say, you'd rather focus on the little sooner than what it might mean for Murray to rejoin a team with possibly 75% of the season remaining. Now, maybe Murray is motivated after watching Josh Dobbs nearly lead this team to a pair of victories. Maybe he's feeling a bit threatened by this newcomer, or maybe Murray has learned a valuable lesson in his absence from the game, namely how much he loves playing football. And I don't know about you, but I can't wait to see what that looks like. All right, today's Bickley Blast brought to you by my great friends at Chapman BMW, who make luxury attainable. Go find them online at ChapmanBMW.com.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to go out there and hurt the team or hurt myself. You know, the advice that I've gotten from a lot of people around me, you know, is obviously to go when you're ready. You know, don't listen to outside noise. Don't feel pressured to come back because of this situation or that situation. You know, whenever you're ready, you'll know you're ready. And I think that's what, obviously, you know, like I said, I haven't dealt with this, but when that time comes, I feel like I'll know.
That was Kyler Murray of the Cardinals back on July 29th, so almost two full months ago, on the concept of not rushing back before you're ready, not jeopardizing anything moving forward. Now, the TikTok video that was put out yesterday by Kyler Murray really kind of paints things or presents things in a different light for his return.
Mm-hmm.
For him
sure
to
does.
Say soon as the last word, for him to say, "I won't let us down." And, you know, another thing that stood out to me, too, was I've never missed the game as much as I miss it
right now. Oh, yeah.
And that is very telling because, again, this is the first time that football has really been taken away from Kyler Murray due to injury. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to – it can rekindle your feelings of love and urgency to get back on the field.
Yeah.
So, and you brought up something else that's very poignant in the Blast, Bick, as you often do.
Thank you, Vinny.
And you know that.
Thank you, Vinny.
The great majority of the time.
Yes. There is a big group of people that, in your terminology, are so far gone in their hatred of Kyler Murray that they can't see things objectively.
No.
Which I don't necessarily. Look, has he been the easiest guy to root for since he's been in Arizona?
No,
he hasn't. Has he been the most difficult? Far from it.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of people that can't ever turn those feelings off now.
I think he's been a bit, not underappreciated. He's been misinterpreted, I think, on some level. Not totally, but just a little bit. I don't think he's aloof, and I don't think he's...
I think he's shown qualities of being aloof in the past, and I think that leads to a lot of people's feelings.
Yeah, he's shown things that look like aloofness, in my opinion. And I just think it was a kid who just, you know, has been very, very sheltered. And he really hasn't had to be what an NFL quarterback has to be. And hopefully he's putting it all together. I'm not giving up. Clearly, I'm not giving up on him yet. But I will get five emails, and I can probably tell you who they're from. of people.
Five members of the Too Far Gone and their yes, Kyler Murray Club.
Of the Little Sooner Club, right? but it's to me, that's the whole thing, Vinny, because the narrative about him has always been, he doesn't care about football. He's a baseball player. He's doing this for the money. He doesn't care about this. It sounds like he cares about this. And again, I think that everything I thought I think I know about Kyler Murray weight room workout warrior, can he ever feel comfortable on an NFL playing field? He doesn't sound full of trepidation to me. He sounds like a guy who's got some stuff he wants to prove and put on a football field when he gets back. I don't know why you'd say that otherwise. You know what I mean? You don't have to say what he said. You can just keep expectations low and come back and let the chips fall where they proverbially may. But I'm actually excited by this. And I told you earlier in the show today, after watching the game a third time, I've got a respect for Josh Dobbs. I really do. I think we don't give him credit for the poise he has shown coming into a very difficult situation to manage. And he's kind of kept everything under control. He hasn't been great. He hasn't won a game. He hasn't made plays at the end. In my way of viewing it, he's missing that one gene that great quarterbacks have, where at the end of the game, you give him the ball, it's just over. You're not winning.
Yeah.
If you give them the ball, the game is over. But no one's expecting Josh Dobbs to be great. Right.
That gene separates the great from the everybody else.
That's
right. Josh Dobbs is trying to graduate from the everybody else
That's
club.
Right. So I think that in watching these two games, in some, you know, they're very close to being either a 500 team or an unbeaten team. And you are what you are in football. I'm not trying to play the what-if game here. But I'm just saying that if Kyler Murray comes back and is really good in this offense, and now you've got Kyler Murray and Josh Dobbs as quarterbacks going forward, I'm happy about that.
Yeah. I don't want to be crass in asking this.
Oh. Should I get my finger on the dump button?
No. Injuries are brutal no matter the situation. But could this be almost a blessing in disguise for Kyler Murray that he gets a fresh restart, a chance to prove himself again with the fan base, win over those who have absolutely refused to like him or believe in him or want him here? Could this be a fresh start for Kyler with his own team?
That's a really good point.
Fresh start, when you were saying that, Sarah, the phrase that came to mind for me was the relighting of a fuse. Things have changed. I mean, he's not still held in the same regard by this organization because the general manager that drafted him, the coach that coached him, they're gone. He is trying to prove himself. And look, the competitive spirit, we know Kyler Murray is a competitive maniac. We get that.
Yeah.
To be asked to prove yourself on any level again, that rekindles a lot of feelings. So, yeah, I mean, it could lead to a fresh start. And the attitude is right on the money for him. He wants to get back quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, listen, I think the answer to that is yes, because this is his first serious injury, and I think he's coming out of it in what looks to be a good place. And again, I can't emphasize this anymore, or I can't emphasize this often enough. He was underserved by the previous coaching staff. They did him no favors.
No.
And general manager.
Right. All of them. So the previous regime, I think, failed Kyler Murray. Not to mention possibly smearing him and making his reputation issues even worse. This is
while rewarding him financially.
While rewarding him financially.
Right.
While doing these mixed messages. Right. Yeah. And so I'm curious to see. He did not need to say this. This has got me excited.
Yeah. That does. Queens of the Stone Age just announced the End is Nero tour coming to Arizona Financial Theater on December 5th. Tickets go on sale tomorrow morning at 10, but you can win a pair of tickets right now by visiting the contest page at arizonasports.com. Coming up, Mike Hazen doesn't currently want to answer questions about his future in Arizona. That's okay. Derek Hall does. We'll get into that next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, it's Luke. Every game matters for the Arizona Diamondbacks right now, so what exactly separates them from the other contenders in the National League? We get going at 10 a.m. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
You have to do your job and ask, and I'll do my job and not answer. Look, we're focused on getting in the playoffs, and you know I was going to say that, and that's what I'm going to say. Like I'm very happy here. Look, we have a job to do to build this thing. We started where we started, and we've built up from underneath, and we have a lot of really good young players that are just starting to scratch the surface of their talent.
It's Mike Hazen, general manager of the Diamondbacks, on Arizona Sports yesterday with Wolf and Luke. Answering the question posed to him by Wolf about the Boston Red Sox opening.
Yeah.
They have a baseball operations chief opening available. We all know Mike Hazen's history in Boston you know, really learned the business in Boston before he became the Diamondbacks general manager.
Under the tutelage of Theo Epstein and all that. Yeah, of course.
But he does have a history here now. So he's, he didn't answer the question fully, but he did give his thoughts. He's very happy here talking about seeing this thing through. And building what the Diamondbacks are building that he is responsible for. We had Derek Hall, the president and CEO of the Diamondbacks, on for his weekly visit at the end of the 7 o'clock hour. And at the end of the interview, Bick asked Derek Hall about his fear level of losing Mike Hazen to the Boston Red Sox. And D. Hall was a little bit more clear-cut on his answer.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how concerned are you about losing Mike Hazen, and or are you guys already taking steps to make that not happen?
Yeah, I think on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being very worried about him leaving, I'm a 0. You know, Mike and I have had several conversations. We talk multiple times every day, all year. He's very happy where he's at. He's very proud of the job he's done. He's proud of the team he's built, and he's proud of the team that he's building on the field. So, you know, we were talking that the irony, Vic, is probably 3 months ago. We chuckled the other day. This event in Boston certainly didn't trigger us to sit down and say, okay, what do we talk about your future being? 3 months ago, I went to him and said, hey, you've got one guaranteed year left. Why don't we start talking about extension? So we start those talks very early on. We're very candid, very honest with one another. We're very close, and I'm confident he's going to be right here, and he's very happy to be here.
Yeah, Derek Hall being very candid in that answer, too. Does that mean, if he's saying that, should everybody's fear level be at 0?
Oh, yeah. If he's saying that, that tells me that either there's a gentleman's agreement or an extension that's already in the works.
Look, Mike Hazen answering the way that he did, saying, I'm focused on this. I don't talk about extensions. Wolf asked him the question about the extension. I don't talk about that. It's not his job to talk about it. Because if he does answer that question, it appears that his focus is elsewhere as opposed to the playoffs. So he did it exactly correct.
And why would you compromise any of your leverage?
Yes.
If you're Mike Hazen, you would not. For Mike Hazen, the Red Sox are the gift maybe that keeps giving, because 2019, this very same scenario led to a contract extension for Mike Hazen. Not that he doesn't deserve one or shouldn't deserve one. In fact, the building of this farm system that has made possible Corbin Carroll and others, but let's just leave it there for now because Corbin Carroll's on a different level. The couple other moves here this season that nobody, and I mean nobody, paid any attention to in real time, the trade that involved Gabriel Moreno and how important that is to this baseball
team. People paid attention to that, but were like, I can't believe they traded Dalton Varsho.
Right.
He's a good baseball player.
Mm-hmm. Jeff Passan called that one of the key moves of the whole season of all of baseball.
Gabby Moreno is an all-star next year. Mm-hmm. Write it down. It's going to happen. And now they've got, not only did they get him, they got Lourdes Gurriel, who's been instrumental in this team, especially early in the season, and they have an opportunity maybe to bring him back next year.
Yeah, right. So think about that. Think about those two pieces for one and what that has meant to the season. That's mind-blowing.
Yes.
For getting Tommy Pham. Hey, Pham! For getting Tommy, the vibe that is Tommy Pham. That's pretty intuitive, if you ask me. And this idea of, right when this bullpen was reaching critical mass, to call up this young Andrew Saul Frank, and then to... Right, thank you.
Andrew
Saul Frank?
There's nothing there.
No, there is. Got anything, Ferret?
That's a tough one.
Sorry, I was duking this.
Tommy Pham's just a vibe.
Jeff Passan's a vibe.
He is, yes.
Love him.
Great. Yes, he is a vibe. Fresh out of the... Throwing up in the toilet.
Yeah, puked in the trash can.
Right, exactly. And then joined us on air. And then Ryan Thompson, who just sort of like was on the street. Okay, we'll take him.
Yeah. Hey, waived by Tampa Bay. Sometimes it takes those weird occurrences to... We've talked about the delicate nature of building a bullpen, which the Diamondbacks honestly have struggled with for the past 3 or 4 years. It was magnified last year because they had a decent team. The bullpen let them down. Mm-hmm. The bullpen was a letdown for most of this season, but man, are they coming up huge when it counts the most.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And listen, this is one thing that is universal for sports fans. It is very easy to get behind teams that rise to meet a moment.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. The ones that don't go running away from opportunity, that go and run into it. And that's a very, very becoming trait to have, no matter what team you are. And whether it's coincidence, luck, design, the Diamondbacks are looking that way right now.
Yeah, and going back to what started this discussion, and that is, you know, the future of Mike Hazen in Arizona. Just from a timeline, eliminate personalities and dollar signs for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Just the timeline of a move wouldn't make sense now. Because we know Mike Hazen well enough over his time with the Diamondbacks that, you know, this was a process. And he inherited a farm system that was just gutted. It had nothing. Mm-hmm. And now to start to see the results of your hard work and your scouting and your player development actually come to fruition for a team that, as of today, according to Sarah, who quoted Fangraphs, 85% chance to make the playoffs, an exit now wouldn't make any sense. This is just the beginning. And that building process continues this offseason, regardless of what happens in these last nine games and the postseason for the Diamondbacks. The reality is, they're a couple players away from really making noise next year. Another starting pitcher, a third baseman, maybe another bullpen arm, plus mm-hmm. the continued development of all these pieces that they have that came up through the system. This is a very exciting time for the D-backs. An exit wouldn't make sense now.
I mean, it makes sense because now is when the Red Sox job is open.
Well, yeah, and
that's the only reason it makes sense.
The only way what I just said gets washed away by the Red Sox is if they just give Mike Hazen a blank check.
Well, yeah, and they might be able to do that. But, and a blank check for him and for funding his baseball team, and it's Boston. And if he feels like his work here is pretty much done, but again, I think what Jeff Passan said is more to the point on this. I don't think it really would have much to do with any of that stuff. If he wanted to go, I think it would have to be right for his boys. His boys would want to have to go back to the East Coast. And that's a very difficult thing. If you're a parent and you've had to move your family when your kids are in high school, the guilt that goes with that,
And especially poignant after the loss
exactly.
the family suffered.
Exactly.
So that's no small move.
Right.
Jared, you moved across country in high school, didn't you?
Yes.
And look how you turned out.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Incredibly damaged.
It was incredibly damaging.
Oh, yes. I'm sure it was. Yeah.
And talk about culture shock from Long Island to Phoenix, Arizona as an adolescent. Oh, my goodness. I feel for you, Jared.
Well, you can only imagine, though, that I was, as a 14, nearly 15-year-old, I wasn't awkward at all. So that was good.
Yeah, that was good. You had that going for you. Yeah.
Get text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, we'll talk NFL. Steve Weiss from NFL Network will join us straight ahead here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Wolf, with so many injury questions surrounding the Arizona Cardinals, are we getting closer to an answer on Kyler Murray? We get going at 10 a.m. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
Thursday edition of Bickley and Murata Mornings rolls on live from the Auction Community Studios, and it's always a pleasure when we get to talk NFL with our next guest, Steve Weiss, the NFL Network's chief national reporter who joins us here on the Arizona Sports Line. Steve, welcome back to the show. Thanks for making time for us today. We appreciate it.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
You know, 2 weeks of a season is not even one-eighth of the schedule now with a 17-game schedule for everybody, but you start to notice some trends and things. You know, what has stood out to you through 2 weeks, maybe as a pleasant surprise, and maybe on the other end of it as an unpleasant or negative surprise?
Well, I mean, I think you have to look at some of the unbeaten teams. You know, you look at Atlanta, you look at Washington. I think they're 2-0. You look at some of those teams. Okay, the Buccaneers wasn't quite expecting that. You know, the schedules are going to get tougher, and maybe things change from there. But I think those are some of the pleasant surprises, especially the way their defenses are playing and they're utilizing the run game. You know, we all thought that run game was gone by the way of the dinosaur. Uh-huh. And then, you know, some of the other things, of course, some of the injuries, Aaron Rodgers, Nick Chubb, how those can impact those teams. And I tell you what, I was at the Niners-Rams game last weekend, and the Rams guys might end up being a little bit better than we thought they were going to be.
Yeah.
They got a bunch of guys we don't know, but man, they are functioning at a very high level. They lost that game, but Matthew Stafford looks better than I've seen him in years.
You can't stop Puka Nacua, can you, Steve?
No.
I mean, come on.
Can't do it.
No, you really can't.
And hey, they lost that game, Steve, but they didn't lose against the spread.
Well, yeah. All right, let's talk about the Cardinals a bit, because the hiring of Jonathan Gannon created a lot of skepticism. It cost the Cardinals draft capital with tampering charges on the GM. And Philadelphia Eagle fans still cannot stand the guy. Yet through two games, things look better here than we thought they were going to look. What do you think of the Cardinals so far?
Yeah, I mean, look, they are competitive, and you know, and you know, we can talk schemes and all that, but when you have guys come out who don't have the talent of other teams, but they compete, that's believing in your coaching staff, right? That's trusting that what they're telling you is going to work. You know, who thought Josh Dobbs would be as efficient as he is? I mean, he's played pretty well. James Conner's run the ball well. I mean, they've just been snake bitten by second halves, right? They just have not held up in either game in the second halves. And that tends to happen to teams that just don't have the playmakers that other teams do. But I think otherwise, you know, they are kind of a surprising team just in terms of the discipline, the way they've played, and the fact that they've made two teams really work to beat them.
Steve Weiss, our guest here on the Arizona Sports Line. Steve, host of the NFL Report, along with James Palmer. It streams Monday and Thursday at 4:15 Arizona time on the NFL Channel, available on the NFL app. You know, along those lines with the Cardinals, Steve, and I agree, they've been a lot more competitive than I thought they would be. And there's an argument to be made that they could be 2-0. But my concern moving forward is the schedule gets tougher now, and they haven't been rewarded but with that carrot of a win yet. And I wonder how that affects a team that realistically is not going to win many games this season. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, like I said, schedule. I mean, they got the Cowboys this week, right?
Yeah, and then San Francisco next week.
Yeah, have fun with that. I mean, if you think you played some good defenses already, it's about to get real, because the Cowboys are just absolutely phenomenal. And the Niners defense, it is what it is. And, you know, Nick Bosa is real close to being in playing shape. So, you know, like I said, it gets tougher. And losing wears you down. I mean, you can stay as competitive and play your heart out, but when you continue to lose, that's where the coaching staff has got to say, look, guys, we're going through it, but you got to believe. We're almost there. We're almost there. Right? You've got to keep the belief that for 17 games, you gotta hang in there. Because the second you lose that belief, then that's when things get sideways. So, you know, so far from what we've seen in the Cardinals, the guys are bought in. And I think that's a really good sign for Jonathan Gannon and the staff. But losing does compound a lot of things. You'll have players, well, how come I'm in there since he's not performing well? Or I'm not in there if this guy's not performing. Things like that. You have to prevent that type of backbiting. And that losing off.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, that's going to be a tough needle to thread. All right, so Kyler Murray posted on Instagram or TikTok yesterday that he expects to be back soon, and he claims he's not going to let anybody who believed in him down. I think the comments are significant because it doesn't sound like he's apprehensive to get back on a football field after that knee injury, his first major injury of his career. What do you think of his chances of getting back and being a franchise guy in the NFL?
You know, I don't know when he's going to get back. I just don't know his health status, and I hate talking about that. I love Kyler did that because, guys, you've been around sports long enough. Nothing pains an athlete more than missing games, especially when it's something out of their control, like rehabbing from an injury. So they're always going to work harder to get back and get back. And you know, if he's able to get back a little sooner, you know, they're going to get him on the field. I know that's going to crush the people who want to say, well, the Cardinals would lose as much as they want so they can get the number one overall pick. But if you're Kyler, you want to squash that talk. You want to get back there and make this staff that has no ties to you believe that you're the guy. And so, you know, it's really hard to predict the future. But if he comes back and he's healthy, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say he's going to make the Cardinals win, because they don't have a ton of playmakers around him. But if he can show the staff that this is, you know, he's the guy they roll with, then they can use that money or draft capital to build up other need areas, which will continue to show themselves throughout the season. And it's a lot easier to build when you have a quarterback than when you don't.
Steve Weiss, NFL Network's chief national reporter, our guest here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. Through 2 weeks, some pretty good, seemingly pretty good teams are 0-2, Steve. Cincinnati, Minnesota, the Chargers. Of those three teams, who should be the most worried about losing a third this weekend?
Well, the Chargers play the Vikings, so.
Yeah, one of them's going to get a win.
It seems to me that I would say the Vikings. Mm-hmm. I think the Chargers are close. You know, they just, their defense, but good grief. I mean, they've got, I didn't realize this, guys. They've got more than $100 million in cap space dedicated to their defense, and they can't stop people on the deep ball. They've given up more than 30-yard plus passes more than any team in the NFL. And they've got a lot of money, you know, paid to that secondary. So I would say the Vikings, though, are probably the most prone. You know, they're turning the ball over. They got 7 giveaways in 2 games. You know, even if they buckle that up, I don't know if they've got the horses to run with the Chargers, but they got one, and that's Jefferson, wide receiver. And the way Tyreek Hill and Treylon Burks got behind that secondary, they may have options. I think Cincinnati, you know, they need to be concerned with this Burrow thing. But if he, it looks, I don't know if he's going to play Monday. It looks like he might. But if he gets through that, you know, I think they're going to turn things around. They're an incredibly talented team.
All right, lastly, I want to get more of your insight on the Los Angeles Rams, because when I heard in the offseason that Matthew Stafford wasn't vibing with these young kids, I thought, okay, this thing is coming to a crashing end, and yet they have been surprisingly into it and energetic. What did I get wrong? What did we get wrong about the Rams?
Well, I mean, I think we, you know, everyone thought because we didn't recognize anybody on their team. I mean, their defense, other than Aaron Donald, seriously, you can't name too many guys on their defense. They traded away Jalen Ramsey. Bobby Wagner was let go. I mean, you know, Leonard Floyd was let go. So I think that was part of it. And these guys fly around. I still don't know if, other than Donald, if they've got a guy who can win to get to the quarterback. But at the other levels, they've got young guys flying around. And then offensively, I'm telling you, when I saw Stafford, I'm like, he looks like he's 25 years old. And this is with Nick Bosa breathing down his neck. This kid, Puka Nacua, he's real. Like, he's real. In the first half, the 49ers players were telling me they played zone, so he was kind of busting, hitting the seams and everything. So they said, we got to pressure him and you know, really get in his face. He had 8 catches in the second half after having 7 in the first half. You know, he's a bigger guy who can run with great hands. And right now he's playing that Cooper Kupp role where he motions. Sometimes he lines up as a flanker and he's blocking the defensive end. So when Kupp comes back in a couple weeks, they're going to have a nice tandem.
Yeah.
And then the running back, Kyren Williams, who's replacing Cam Akers, you know, he's just a dude who finishes runs like Marshawn Lynch. So they've got a different type of something that they're doing, but the attitude that they're playing with, and Matthew Stafford, they're going to be in a lot more games than we thought they were going
to
be.
Yeah. Steve, great to talk to you again. Thanks so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys.
Thank you. Steve Wyche, NFL Network's chief national reporter, our guest on the Arizona Sports Line. Coming up, Chicago is the Windy City, which is good because that might make the stench the Bears are responsible for blow out of town sooner. That and what's going on with Chandler Jones and some hash marks next. Bickley and Murata Mornings on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Bickley and Murata. Hash marks.
There's some things when you play quarterback, I don't care what level it's at, certainly in the NFL, that are nevers. You know this.
Of course.
You never publicly blame your teammates, and you never publicly blame your coaching. Ever. Mm. You are the person that stands there, and this is one of the hardest parts of the job. You stand there and you take accountability even when it's not your fault. Mm. You stand there and you take the bullets even when they're not the reason why your team is playing poorly. And when you publicly choose not to do that, and I'm a fan of Justin's, it takes away the accountability. It takes away the leadership. Because when you walk in the locker room or you walk into that team meeting room and your teammates watch you stand up there, they know. We know. Yeah. You know when the coaches aren't doing a great job. When they watch you stand up there and take all the blame, it just builds that kind of, I guess, like quality of leader. It builds the buildup of your character in the locker room, and your teammates will say, like, that's our guy. Your coaches will say, that's my guy. And when you point the finger at someone else, the leadership starts to go away.
Stan Orlovsky from ESPN, after what went down in Chicago yesterday, the mess that is the Chicago Bears, with Justin Fields being asked to, in a media session, what is causing you to play like a robot and not free, and why are you thinking too much? And his first word was coaching.
Could be coaching, I think.
Then apparently he got some feedback on that, met with the media again, and said, I'd never call out my coaches. But you just did.
You just did. Yeah, so I'm sure that was a very, very contentious, ugly practice. And again, the Bears have found themselves in a weird place, and I'll reiterate this. I would say that I don't know when this probably happened, but once the Commanders were sold, I think the Arizona Cardinals ascended to the top of the most dysfunctional teams in the National Football League. There's no power ranking for this. It's just kind of one of those unofficial deals. And for many, many years in the NFL, it was Daniel Snyder's Commanders, just like it was Robert Sarver's Suns in the NBA. So I think that on Monday, when Vinny and I told you about one or two power rankings in which the Bears had fallen to the bottom, that was only the tip of the iceberg. This stuff that happened yesterday at Halas Hall, from Justin Fields and the walk back and the coaching staff and the defensive coordinator resigning and these rumors about FBI raids and the team insisting it's not the case, the Bears now are the most dysfunctional team in the NFL. Yes. So the Cardinals reign as most dysfunctional team in the NFL. Not that long, and the goal now is to never, ever see 32 ever again.
We should play Pomp and Circumstance because the Cardinals have graduated.
Yes. Aww, right. Yeah. Hat with a tassel.
No, no. After yesterday, I'm not sure I'm scared to play any kind of...
any kind
I don't know
of
who owns that music.
Yeah, and you mentioned...
It upset Larry Pomp.
or Chad Circumstance.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Chad Circumstance. It's like a 20-year-old woman's dating life. One of the Chad Circumstances. Mm-hmm.
Alan Williams' situation, the defensive coordinator who left the team last week, hasn't been around. The Bears initially called it, hey, it's a personal thing, and then it dragged on for like six more days. And yesterday, he makes a statement, comes out, resigns from his post as the defensive coordinator from the Bears. Doesn't do it from, you know, Bears letterhead or statement from the team. It was an individual statement put out. There wasn't any, hey, we wish Alan Williams well, coming from the organization. And then the rumors that were out there that have been refuted by the team, and this is the weirdest part of all of it. There were rumors and reports that Alan Williams had his house raided by the FBI.
Yes.
Then there were rumors and... I'll stop short of saying reports, but there was a lot of smoke about Halas Hall getting raided by FBI agents.
There was people who covered the Bears have told me that there has been something noted. People who covered the Bears knew there was something off with this team right after that Green Bay loss at home. That there was something really amiss and weird and wrong with this football team. Clearly, no one expected the Packers to roll into Soldier Field and do what they did with Jordan Love, but they did.
Yes.
And after that game, that's when Alan Williams disappeared.
Yeah. Ryan Poles, the GM of the Bears this morning, said on the Alan Williams situation, quote, I don't have many details to add there. Halas Hall being raided is completely false. Don't know where that came from. I'd love to know where that came from, if it's indeed false. We've worked with Kevin Warren, who's the president of the Bears, and George McCaskey, and all of our leadership to make sure we were handling it in the right way, and everything concluded yesterday.
And again, that might be a matter of semantics, that like it might not have been a raid, right? They might have knocked on the door. Hey,
this is Alan here?
Is Alan here? No, he's at home. Okay, see you later.
We don't know no Alan. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
And the other situation that's also strange is the Raiders making a determination on what to do with Chandler Jones finally.
Oh, boy.
They put him on the non-football injury list.
That got a little uncomfortable over the weekend. I ain't going to lie.
It's been uncomfortable for quite some time.
He brought Larry Fitzgerald into it. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with Chan, but...
This is similar to this is like Antonio Brown behavior. The big difference for me in this is I actually care about Chandler Jones. I think we've got experience with Chandler Jones. When he was a Cardinal, he was a model citizen, a really productive football player.
A very fascinating dude to interview.
Yes.
I'll never forget, as long as I live, he sat down in a chair opposite us, and he was wearing his backpack over both shoulders, not slung over one, over both. And I thought, wow, it's hard to sit in a straight back chair with a backpack, but he was like right on the edge of the seat, fully engaged in the interview.
But this behavior online has been going on for quite some time.
He keeps threatening to like release information about the Raiders like ownership and
finally they made a determination. I don't think we're going to see Chandler Jones on the football field anytime soon.
Tweeted a picture of Harriet Tubman.
Did he really? I didn't see that. I haven't been following it that closely because I was concerned about it 3 weeks ago.
With no caption or anything? Is he implying that he's Harriet?
He's implying he needs liberation? I don't know. That's a little bit odd.
Yeah, and like you said, I'm posting free game until I see Larry Fitzgerald.
Oh, boy.
I don't even know.
Yeah, I mean, I tried to make heads or tails of some of those posts, and it's just
strange. He posted a screenshot from Fitz, and Fitz's response was perfect. Fitz, hey, I just left a boardroom meeting. Are you doing okay?
Chandler Jones said, my Instagram story, that's cereal. Eat it. It'll do you good.
Oh, boy. So I did not see that. So he was eating cereal?
Yeah, he was in his underpants, sitting by the pool.
Boxers, briefs?
Boxer briefs.
Okay. All right.
I think they were gray, just scooping honey bunches of oats until his...
During this whole thing, though, he claimed that he was hacked, which is like the most lame-o excuse in 2023 for this kind of behavior.
It's a fine excuse.
But
you can't keep acting crazy after you say
post pictures of you eating eating
that's
cereal.
That's where I was going.
Yes.
Right.
You have to stick with the story.
Yeah.
Or else you just keep getting hacked, I guess.
Well, nobody would have believed that anyway, but yeah. Doubling down.
Well, maybe he's just trying to tell you he's a serial killer, Jared.
His time in Las Vegas.
Sorry.
His time in Las Vegas has been
interesting,
to say the least.
The one thing Steve Keim did absolutely 100% right was buying low, selling high on Chandler Jones.
Resisting that early push that last year in Arizona after five sacks against Tennessee to give him that extension.
Right.
I was advocating for it. He did that right. You're exactly correct. Coming up next, we hit the 9 o'clock hour. Sarah's going to take us through some social studies. It's Binkley and Murata Mornings, live from the Ak Chin Community Studios, here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.